We beat the scum 2-1.
It's a new political party, I imagine, but yeah. Yeah, what a platform to run on.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Episode 359 of the Mike Wright's podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by KC. I assume, given what happened Monday, you're doing well.
Yeah, it was quite nice. So, like, even going into work for the first time this week on Wednesday, it's just all the Leeds fans just looking at each other, just going, yes, again.
There's been a few things noticed, but one, like, every single kid that is a Leeds fan around me, around where I live, all got the shirts on every day, every time I leave the house. And they're all off school this week. So you're seeing them a lot if you just go for a walk anywhere, flying past on bikes, all of them with Leeds shirts on. Work messaged me. A lad I work with in Manila, like, messaged me going, what a result for your lot on Monday. Guys from uni who I haven't heard from in ages, messages, fucking hell, what a win for you, lads. Then annoyingly gracious Man United fans, the ones that I actually know.
Yeah, so I think, like, obviously we watched the game with Benny, who...
Yep, fuck you, Benny.
Who... I'm going to say in the nicest way, probably isn't invested in it as much as, say,
no.
Alex is.
Yeah.
But Alex was away in Manchester, didn't go to the game, but he was away there for work.
He was trying to get to the game, wasn't he, but it just...
Yeah. So when I saw him yesterday for the first time for football training, just looked at him and just went, good night one day then, yeah.
Yeah, first time for Leeds winning in the league at Old Trafford since 1981. So twice in 8 days, Leeds have achieved something that I've never done in my lifetime. FA Cup semi-final, winning the league at Old Trafford.
We won at Old Trafford, we're winning the FA Cup, but we're getting relegated. What a year.
Yeah, this time. We'll see. But genuinely, the first thing I want to say about this game is I want to give a really huge slice of credit to Daniel Farke, because we were fairly sure he'd revert to type here and be quite negative, weren't we?
That type being Ilya Gruev.
Well, we thought it'd be Gruev. We thought Tanaka might well play, but he'd be in, like, the more advanced role, and it'd be like, and he wouldn't risk Okafor, so it'd be like Aronson on the left and Tanaka on the right, and maybe even Bornhouse in at centre-back, Justin's at right-wing-back, and Bogle's on the wing. Like, it could have been that defensive. But, I mean, one, as we did mention, all the ones that he said were a doubt played, which is how it normally goes with Farke. But Tanaka being in ahead of Gruev just gave us that bit more aggression. And not only did we have the players to do it, we pressed so well. We won the ball, like, within 30 yards of their goal, especially in, like, the first half, just over and over and over again. It was... Oh, God, I was so pleased with the performance. And, like, obviously, we'll talk about some of the details after, but, like, if it had been four at half-time, it wouldn't have looked out of place.
Yeah, I think it was quite telling the number of times there was just a straight-line pass into feet for them, where one of our players just stepped in front and picked it off. Like, it happened quite a few times that they just weren't aware of where we were or how quickly we were pressing them. And to be honest, I kind of thought it was going to be our fairly usual thing of, you know, we'll have a good 15 minutes here and then we'll sort of slow down and we'll sort of move into more of a mid-block than anything else. But no, because we, in possession, just had the run on them. We just had more legs than they did. And it's something we did highlight with... obviously, Mainoo being out for them was quite a big one, I think it goes.
As good as Casemiro is, and he's a really good player, there wasn't a lot of legs when it was with it being him and Ugarte.
Yeah. So you did find there was these large areas for Tanaka to get hold of the ball and you know, make a run. It was just so unexpected. You know, and I know that they were probably unlucky. I know Maguire, that was a contentious red card, and they are still in the process of appealing it, which it's quite funny that he still missed a game.
Yeah, despite the fact
that happened about 5 weeks ago now at this point.
Yeah, it's even funnier because he's also banned for the Chelsea game that they've got on. I think they're Saturday 8 o'clock.
What have the FA been doing since?
Because this ban is for, apparently he basically like really shouted and abused the officials after the red card. So he got an extra ban for that.
Oh, that's okay. I'm all right with that.
We don't have to think about him again now. It's not our problem.
No, but you had him out, you had Mainoo out, and then the odd change was seeing Mbeumo drop out and them starting Šeško.
Yeah, we were both very surprised with that. It wasn't so much that Šeško started. I thought if Šeško starts and Mbeumo would play on the right and they dropped Diallo.
Hmm.
But I mean, I was so glad that Mbeumo weren't playing because he's like a belting player.
It's an odd one as well because obviously for them, they've not played since the international break. So they've had a good 2.5-3 weeks off at this point.
Yeah.
And they have no cup competitions left. So all their games, I imagine, are just weekend games at this point.
I think they're going to play the fewest games of any team in the Premier League because they'll have played 40 because they got beaten the FA Cup third round and I believe they got knocked out of the first round that they played in the League Cup as well.
Yeah.
Because didn't they get Arsenal in the League Cup and get beat on like penalties or something?
So
was that last season?
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, it seemed an odd one, if nothing else, that you're rotating around like that. I'm glad they did, though.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, Leeds started great. Should have been 1-0 up after about 2 minutes. Great ball in from Goodmanson down the left to Calvert-Lewin, who he gets plenty on it, but it goes dead straight. Lammens is in the right position to save it. And you have that first thing of, oh, that's a really big early chance. You need to take them. And then in the, like, what was it, fifth minute? Bogo, good ball from the right. Calvert-Lewin sort of jumps with Yoro, who flicks it on. Okafor reacts well, stays at home on the volley. Really good finish. Leeds 1-0 up. Now that some time has passed and we can calm down, KC, is that a foul by Calvert-Lewin on Lenny Yoro?
I don't know. Purely because, look, I know his arm catches his head. Mm. Now, if we go back to the Olympic Stadium, you can get kicked in the head.
Yeah.
So, one, I don't know anymore. But two, if I'm looking at it seriously, when he goes in, his arm does go off his shoulder into him. So it's not as if he leads straight into the face. Have I seen them given? Yeah. I'd be annoyed if it was, though.
Yeah. I am actually quite glad you used the sort of high boot example. Because I think it's one of the only times I've ever seen a Man United player do this. I think this is very similar to that Strout thing. Because I think if Strout goes down holding his face and rolls around on the floor, that goal gets disallowed. And I think if Lenny Yoro throws himself on the floor and rolls around holding his face, I think this goal gets disallowed as well. Whether it should. And it is one of the reason that I can't be up in arms about people saying it's a foul is because it's one where if it was at the other end, I'd be going mental saying it's a foul if it was at the other end. So
I think the shame of not winning the header is what stopped Yoro from acting up afterwards.
Yeah.
Because I think he should have done better.
Yeah, that is the thing, because the foul is after he misjudges the header.
Yeah.
That didn't cause him to misjudge the header. It just happened after. You know, like when you misplace a pass, but you get caught afterwards. So you go down going, yeah, let's not have this. But it counted. It was one of them that can go either way. I'm glad it did. Especially with it being an away game, I'm surprised it went the way it did. But I'm happy. You know, Leeds were basically just remained on top the whole time. Just for that, our again pressure on the edge of the box. They got to clear it. We win it back. Ball goes in, headed out. Aronson gets a little head on it out to Okafor. Have you seen the very funny reverse angle of this, where you can see Ethan Ampadu?
No, I haven't seen this.
The ball is dropping for Okafor, and Ampadu's going, just calm it down. So Okafor hits a first-time volley, takes a little dick off of Yoro, goes into the corner. Dreamland. Like, yeah. Oh, God, what a... I mean, it's a... Like, what a way to... Like, Okafor... Like, people like Okafor. He's done well for us. He's had some quieter periods in the season. He's had some injuries. But this is the... Right, no Okafor folklore moment.
Yeah.
Everyone will... He could be absolutely shite for a long time and people would be like, yeah, but he did score them two goals at Old Trafford. He'll always have this, no matter what now.
Yeah, because I think there's obviously, I think some bits get lost in these games when you don't win them. I think if you get a better result out of it, more people talk about Stuart Dallas's goal at Absolutely. Old Trafford. But it's in
that,
a 6-2.
That's got the double as well, because it's in a shit result and it's COVID football.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that gets buried away. But, you know, there's not many Leeds players will go there, score twice and be on the winning side. Mm-hmm. You know, I know sort of in my lifetime it's only happened a couple of times that we've scored more than one there.
Yeah, and one was like a 3-2 defeat, isn't it?
Yeah, and even in those instances, we still don't win or get a point. So yeah, the fact that he scored the two goals to win us the game at Old Trafford for however many years it is, no one ever mentioned it.
No.
Post game.
No, we win there all the time. I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah. But yeah, just fantastic. And it's that thing of you're there and you do see that ball coming towards him, and there is part of you just like, look, lads, you don't have any more chances. You get, oh, what a finish, never mind.
Yeah. I must say, even with, I'm always the guy who's like, no, bring it down, play the pass rather than try it. But even I was like, it's it. It was dropping night. And it's, I know it takes a little nick, but he's not running onto it, which makes it a bit more difficult to generate the power. It's a really good strike.
Hmm.
It doesn't have the bounce, but there's a little bit of similarity to that Pablo Hernandez one from edge of box against Millwall at Elmwood, where like, yeah, he can't really get anywhere, but he still gets it through with a bit of pace on it. And, you know, we had other openings. Like, in first half, Dallo made a couple of saves, but the only, like, there was only, like, one good one in the first half. But, I mean, then just for half time, we really, I mean, it looked for all the world like it was 3-0. Again, Scum try to play out from the back. Leeds pressing, Tanaka nips in. Really good quick feet, like a little right-left step to go around Lammens, but it's just a little bit of a heavy touch. And to be fair, when Lisandro Martinez has set off early, like he hasn't given up on it, because he could have easily just gone fuck's sake and stopped and then it'd have been a tapping. But he does make a really good tackle. But God, oh, if it had just been a little bit less on it, because it goes in 3-0. Like, I mean, it was amazing anyway, but can you imagine if it had gone in 3-0?
It's a challenging game if you go in 3-0 up, though. It's almost a worse position to be in.
Yeah, if anything, it's a bad time to score the third goal, because, you know, and it's such a great goal. Yeah, by Christian Ziga. That's a really specific reference.
Yeah. You know what? It's against Man United. It's relevant to this.
Yeah.
That's one of Glenn Hoddle's more favourable interviews. Focus on that one.
Are you saying that basically on Monday night Scum missed Laurent Blanc?
Ooh.
Because he scored one of the goals.
Yeah. didn't do so well with him in the team, but that's another time for another story. With Tanaka, though, like you say, it's excellent footwork. It's that second touch is probably a touch too heavy. And you just say, like, if he, because he's stretching for that, so there's not even any way for it. Because if he gets any lift on it, I think it goes in.
Yeah, he scoops it over or something.
Yeah, but he's just full stretch for it by that point. And in what will probably be the highlight of his game, unless you do have to give credit to Martinez for reading that one.
Yeah. But yeah, 2-0 up at half-time, looking good. We knew that the second half would be more difficult. They were bound to come out into it. But to be honest, even in the second half, I thought that for about 10 minutes, we were still really quite comfortable. And then they get a red card and it fires them up and seems somehow to rattle us a little bit. I guess this is the second time I'm going to say this, KSA. Was it a red card?
I think yes. I think you and me probably saw it a bit differently. I think whenever I've watched it, if it's the first instance where his hand is on his hair, let's say, well, because I wouldn't say it was grabbing, but maybe holding. But he lets go, and it does feel like he tries to get hold of him again.
Yeah.
I would say hair pulling is not on the level of spitting, but it's one of those you don't do that in football.
Well, it's one of the things that they have now sort of codified into the laws of the game as hair pulling is violent conduct.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, because I think for me, I wouldn't say, I know he's got a bit of a ponytail going on. I wouldn't say his hair was so long that it was unavoidable holding onto his hair. I would say he's had a pull.
You see, he definitely pulls his hair. The only thing for me is I always try and go off sort of what I saw, like the first replay, preferably at full speed. And I don't think he's actually trying to pull his hair. I think he's just reached out to grab. Now, because it is now in the laws of the game, hair pulling, violent conduct, red card. So it's not an incorrect decision. It's another one of the, if it was at the other end, I'd be fuming.
But
the other thing with him is, as well, that Lisandro Martinez is a prick. Like, he is. So maybe you get that little bit less leeway when you're constantly flying into two-footed tackles and shit like that, and having your, somehow for a very strong professional athlete, still has little man syndrome. Like... So,
because if he was an actual centre mid, it wouldn't be an issue. But it's because he's a centre back, you know, and he has to stand next to Harry Maguire on a daily basis and just go, oh, "Shit, that's what they're meant to look like."
But yeah, it's definitely not an incorrect decision. I think it's a little bit on the harsh side.
It's that thing as well.
But it was the best thing that happened to Man United in this game.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. So, I mean, they never really had a foothold in the game for that first hour. Like, they have quality, and there are a couple of chances, but there's no period of dominance for them up to this point.
No.
It's not long after this that we start oleing around the hour mark.
Yeah, which was too early. I'm sure it was great fun in that way, and I was going, oh, lads, it's a bit...
Yeah, I didn't
particularly like the way that the Leeds players were sort of playing into it as well. I was like, come on.
No, lads, there's half an hour of this. Can you actually keep playing?
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, it sort of gave them the shot in the arm that they needed. And they did exactly what I would have done in that situation of, right, sod it, we are playing a back three now because there's no sense of taking a centre forward off.
Yeah. Because I did just check the times of the subs to see if maybe they made changes earlier than I thought. And maybe that's what actually changed it. But no, they don't make their changes until after Casemiro gets one back. So it was really the red card that changed everything. I think also the perceived injustice whipped up the crowd a bit, which got them going. But yeah, 69th minute. Everyone's been up for a set piece. It comes back out. It's recycled. It's a good cross from Bruno Fernandes. Really good back post header from Casemiro. Leeds perspective, Leeds have an extra man. There is no need for the man at the there's no way that the man at the far post should have 5 yards of space.
Yeah, he is properly unmarked at the back post.
Yeah. He just gets back onside, because I must admit, it was only when I saw the replay, it was really quite tight on offside. So I think some of it I have to put down to good movement, to be fair. But when you've got that extra man, it shouldn't be that easy. Because there's no one closing the cross either, really.
No. And then the stress set in.
Yeah, all of the stress. I mean, it could have been so much less stressful. Because we had so many good chances to break. Where we'd be 3-3 or 4-4 and just not using it properly.
This is probably the reason we are in the part of the table that we are, is that you have players with obviously you have players with good levels of skill and are better at some things than others. Brendan Aaronson, Jaden Bogle are two players who I think work very hard. Jaden Bogle has been a very good right wing back for us. Brendan Aaronson off the ball is still fantastic at what he does. But their decision making in the final third is not what you want at Old Trafford away.
Yeah. Bogle
more forgivable than the other.
Bogle had one or two bad ones, but he also did some really good things. Aaronson's second half was a bit off.
There was a moment he turned when there was no one in front of him, and you went, "What? No, just forward, man! He loves a turn."
Yeah. They made the subs straight after the goal. It was Mbeumo for Diallo for Mazraoui.
Diallo.
Yeah, Cal Diallo on the wing. And then 4 minutes later, Gruev for Tanaka, Nonto for Okafor. At that point, Tanaka was visibly struggling with what thankfully it turns out is just cramp.
Fernandes was not happy about that, though.
No, at that point, I think bringing Gruev on was fair enough. 80, and then very late on, Longstaff for Aaronson, 86th minute. Like, the big chance with all of the breaks that we had was the Calvert-Lewin header from Bogle's cross. There's no pace on the cross, which does make the header a bit harder. But if it's a yard further to the side, it's in. And Calvert-Lewin will think he probably should have done better with it, is the fairest way to say it.
Yeah, I mean, the first one is definitely the worst of the two misses. But yeah, he between those two chances should have definitely worked the keeper a lot more than he did.
Yeah.
This is the time as well where, speaking of players being in attacking positions that you wouldn't want, is I think there's a point where Ilya Gruev is leading an attack and you're there going, right, let's see what happens here.
There was also a bit, and I really liked this, that they were sticking to their men in situations. Like, you know, it wasn't man-to-man all over the pitch or anything, but there was a bit where, like, the highest man on the left side in the press was Strauch. Because Diallo had gone all the way in, and he'd followed him the whole way. And I'm like, good. I like to see that. So long as everyone knows what they're doing and people know when to cover.
Yeah.
Although there was a few, like, it wasn't anywhere there was some ridiculous worldie, but Cal Diallo made some really good saves. And was just steady throughout, like, a good goalkeeping performance.
Yeah, and I think between that, where he makes a couple of good saves and earning the credit back for not taking his chances, is Calvert-Lewin with a header off the line and then blocking a follow-up as well.
Yeah, it was Casemiro again, wasn't it? Really good header, but yeah, gets off the line. And the fact that he got out to block Ugarte's shot as well, like that, that more than covers it.
Yeah, fair. Like, we'll call it even.
And to be honest, like, he was good, he just missed two chances. Who did you have down as man at match? I mean, I know that it's easy to say Okafor because he scored twice, and I probably would give it Okafor because he scored twice. But I thought there were good performances throughout the side.
I mean, I know it comes up, but I thought Tanaka had a fantastic game in midfield. I think it's the game he's needed in and amongst all this, because he's had these sub appearances where he doesn't get long or, you know, doesn't have much of an impact on the game. And after putting in that really good performance against West Ham, it whether, and this is mostly due to not so much his performance, but Stack's injury, but he gets his chance. And
you'd argue it's his shirt now, you would say.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, we'll come on to it, but obviously if you're playing Wolves at home, I don't need to see Ampadu and Gruev as your centre mids in that game. I want to see someone who's going to get up the pitch.
Yeah.
So I thought he had a fantastic game. And I thought it was a godsend for us having Goodmanson back in the team as well.
Yeah, that's the next person I was going to bring up. God, I was glad he was fit. And then we watched the game and I was even more glad. I know that he got a goal and an assist in the FA Cup.
Mm.
But how he's played all season in the league and doesn't have a goal or assist is beyond me. Like, he gets forward so well. He's always in the right places. And his delivery isn't amazing, but it's good. I bet that, like, statistically, he's due to have so many more assists than he is. Like, I don't know what the XG was on Calvert-Lewin's first chance. But that's, like, 0.5 assists that Goodmanson should have. You know, I bet there's a weird thing where when he sets up the chance, they miss it. It's like when I used to play cricket. I didn't have the greatest set of hands in the world, but they were fine. Unless Matthew Thompson was bowling. And then I dropped everything. And it was just like, I was awful off his bowling for some reason. And I think that chances off Gabby Goodmanson are like that. If he sets it up, you're more likely to miss for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and I can't remember if this was Monday night, but I asked you about like who, come the summer, would be our most saleable asset. And to be honest, I was a bit, I kind of thought about it later and went, I can't believe we haven't mentioned Goodmanson in that. Like, much as, obviously, I don't want him to go. He has been head and shoulders the best left-back Leeds have had since Ian Hart. But, yeah, I look at him there and just think, if someone wanted to pay the money, he could definitely play higher up.
Yeah. I think the reason I didn't think of him is because, one, I couldn't even think of it being an option.
Hmm.
But when I think about all the other, there's lots of ones that I don't want to go, but I can see a world where it happens. I can't see a world where we sell Goodmanson. It would require someone to offer, like, you know, £50 million, and no one's going to offer that.
No. But he is... He has just been the revelation, and as good as James Justin is, and he does a job for us at left back when we need him to. You cannot beat the qualities of having a very good left footed left back.
Yeah, but the other good thing is, and it is often the case for a game like this, like, yeah, we've picked out sort of three players there, but there was no one that didn't have at least a good game. Like, the back three were all really good. Ampadu, I thought, was really good. I think that how well Nonto did when he came on has gone a little bit underappreciated. I thought he was, like, really good at just getting hold of the ball and calming it down. He was the only one that seemed to try and calm us down a little bit when the pressure was on.
Yeah, I think in my very nervy state, I may have had a bit of a shout at him in, like, the 89th minute.
That one time when he tried to skin someone.
If you're like, no, yeah. You're already in the corner, man. Corner.
No, I went mental as well. That one, I said he'd made some good decisions and calmed things down. That was a bad decision.
Yeah, but I think, like you said, it's one of the things that I think you see it a lot more with players who cut inside, is that slowly that they do have these moments of just nearly stopping, waiting to draw someone in and then taking that touch inside. And yeah, like you say, it was again, it's nice for him to have that moment, because he doesn't have a lot to go off this year. At least even last season, there were kind of good moments for him, despite not playing as much as someone of his ability probably should in the Championship. Mm-hmm. And that's been even more limited this year. So it's nice that in a game like that, that you can give him some credit for that performance.
Yeah, but arguably, I mean, not as important as winning, but quite important, was some of the results elsewhere. I mean, we thought West Ham would beat Wolves. I don't think we expected them to beat them 4-0. But West Ham beat Wolves 4-0. Forest won all at home to Villa. And probably most crucially at the minute, Spurs lost 1-0 at Sunderland. So we, with six games to go, are 6 points clear of the relegation zone.
Which, given we started the weekend 4 points clear of the relegation zone, and then the results came out as they did, and you're looking going, I tell you what, if we can get a point here, yeah, it's great. So to then pull off that result, and it's still a crucial game, but it definitely takes some pressure off the Wolves game.
It sort of doesn't. It's a different kind of pressure. This is more like last season pressure is the Wolves game.
Mm.
This is a, you should win this. Because we should. We should beat Wolves. We're better than Wolves. Wolves, although they're not officially relegated, are down.
Yeah.
We should have it. And I've said it about in numerous situations about Leeds, if the exact same everything was in play and it was a team not called Leeds United, I'd be pretty confident that they'd be winning at the weekend. But it's Leeds, and we know what we can be like in these situations. But to give them a lot of credit, since the second, not the first season, because obviously we did mess it up at the end, but last season, when there was crucial games that you have to win, we won them for the vast majority of the time. This season, especially the tactical change, but for the most part, when there's been a big game where we need to get something, we've got something. You know, there's Burnley away, we were awful and got well beat. Same with Forest away. That was in that really bad run. Outside of that run, for the most part, when there's been one, you know, when we were at home to Palace, who were out of form, we beat them. When there's been a game where you've gone, this one is really important, we seem to have been fairly good at getting something.
Yeah. I will say, if you want to fill yourself with confidence, aside from the West Ham result, don't look at Wolves' recent form. Because it's quite upsetting. Because you look and go,
They've not been bad at all.
No, like this, you know, this upturn of, like, I'm just looking at it here. Since they've lost to Chelsea, and then in the league, 0-0 with Forest, 2-0 with Arsenal, lost to Palace but had a man sent off, beat Villa, beat Liverpool, drew with Brentford, and then there's the West Ham game.
Yeah. I thought West Ham would win that game. I didn't think it'd be 4-0. Although, to be fair, like, it wasn't really a 4-0 game either. Like, West Ham were just way more clinical than they have been lately.
Yeah. So it's certainly a, you can't be complacent about this. Like, it's not in the bag, because even though Wolves have a dreadful away record, as do we, but you, essentially, I want us to start the game like we started against Man United and go for it.
Yeah, go into it. I think the difference will be, I doubt that Wolves will also invite the pressure.
Hmm.
I mean, they'll invite us onto them, but not passing the ball around, try to play out.
Yeah. But it's a game, because the problem is, in my head, I've got Brentford and Wolves in recent memory where Brentford and Sunderland, sorry, in the recent memory of games where you're looking going, we really should have gone for that. They were games where we could have got more. And I just don't want Farker to get a bit scared of trying to play this game to not lose it.
Yeah, and we can't do that. Not at home against these. You've got to go all out to win it. You've got to look at this and be, because look, it is still possible to go down if we lose this game. But we play first this weekend.
Hmm.
You win that and go 9 points clear. the pressure you're adding is enormous. If they've been obviously they've only had one game back, but they've basically have been playing sort of a 3-4-3 ish, but it's more of a 3-5-1 for the most part. It depends who they stick behind the striker, who lately has been Adam Armstrong by the looks of it. But sort of an expected team, like the back three, I like Krejci, but like Santiago Bueno, not really that great. Mosquera. This predicted team has got Matt Doherty at right centre back, which I'd be up for. I'd be surprised at that. That Chachua at right back, he's pretty decent. I quite like Hugo Bueno at left back. He looks pretty decent.
This is a team where you do have to use several first names as a team with two Buenos and four Gomez's.
Yeah, well, what did they play against Wolves? With Wolves, it was that. So, like, they've got, obviously, Joao Gomez. I'm making sure I get them all right. They've got Joao Gomez, who is pretty decent. Rodrigo Gomez is the one that's been playing really well lately and scored a couple of goals, isn't he?
Mm.
And then they've also got Angel Gomez,
yep,
who is on loan, but I think, or did they sign him permanently?
I don't really know.
Yeah, and they've also got Andre. I think Andre, if he's fit, will probably, I don't know if he's fit, because I would expect him to start.
Yeah.
Because he's a bit more of the holding mid type. So I think maybe Joao Gomez and Andre Gomez, and then they'll play Mateus Mane and Rodrigo Gomez behind Armstrong. Or maybe that Bellegarde, he plays a fair bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, and Totti Gomez on the bench.
Oh yeah, Totti Gomez as well. So that's another centre-half option that I don't like as much. They have gone, it has been Jose Sarr. I don't know, is Sam Johnson still injured?
Dan Bentley was on the bench for the West Ham game.
Yeah, Sam Johnson's still injured then. From the press conference today, no new injuries, the same three that were out are expected to be out again. I mean, I can only make an argument for Nonto over Aronson, but I think it'll just be the same team. And I think that's completely fair.
Yeah, I would not be making any changes to the starting lineup.
In something that I do consider good news for Leeds, 13 minutes into the second leg of Forest and Porto, Forest are 1-0 up and Porto are down to 10 men.
Ah, so they're continuing.
I go ahead, get to the final. Lose it.
Have some decency, lads.
Yeah, don't win. Don't win the whole thing, but by all means, get to the final and like make sure you've used up your legs.
Yeah, I would have said the same about Palace, but they're two.
Yeah, they're 3-0 up.
I don't know if they lose a Premier League game and we win one.
No.
We're basically Europa League contenders.
Yeah, we're not catching anyone above us, KC.
Such is the mid-card. If you can get a win this weekend, to put us then at 39 points.
Yeah, I mean, there's JB here saying we have to move on from Man United game now. All I've seen is posts about how if we beat Wolves, we're safe. As this thing decides to glitch out and not work, there we go, and we should be safe.
I honestly think if you win that and a couple of draws, and bearing in mind we still have three, you know, even after the Wolves game, we still play three teams who are below us.
Yeah, we have to play the bottom four in our final six games.
Yeah, it's if you cut from this position now.
If we fuck it up from here, we deserve everything.
Oh yeah, we entirely deserve it. If you win this game, and I don't care how it happens, I don't care by how many, if you get the shittiest 1-0 win, at that point you're looking going great, because and I think I saw a clip where it was Simon Jordan talking about it, is essentially us and Wolves have quite a good steer on who could go down, because we both play Spurs and West Ham. Well, they've just played West Ham, but I think, you know, they still got Spurs to play. We still got Spurs and West Ham to play.
Yeah. I did see tweets from West Ham fans going, we just need to get clear of it, because I think Leeds are going to be safe. And if we're 3 points clear of Spurs going into the last day, they'll let's kick it around in centre circle all game and draw 0-0. It's fine.
I'm not against it.
I'm not thinking anywhere near that far ahead, but the West Ham fans were.
Yeah. I mean, it's still my biggest fear is that and yes, I know Brentford, Jack Harrison and Rafinha and everything.
But on the other hand, 9 men.
Yeah, the idea of having to go there and not even goal difference and other teams being a factor, just you have to go to London and win.
And get something.
Yeah, it's not what I'd fancy. It's not for us.
No. I've just had a glance. Obviously, if you shop around, there may be bigger odds than this. I've just had a look at the first one I've looked at. Obviously, Wolves are 2,000 on to go down. Burnley are 1,000 on to go down. They are down.
By the way, who plays each other on the final day of the season?
Is it Wolves and Burnley?
It is Wolves and Burnley.
Oh, God. But you know what? The crowd will be great for that.
Yeah. A full 90 minutes of gallows humour from both teams.
Yeah. We're going to Lincoln, you're going to Lincoln. Stuff like that. But Tottenham have just gone odds on, 10 to 11 to be the third team down. West Ham 13 to 8, Forest 5 to 1, Leeds 14 to 1.
As you said, if we fuck it up, it's on us.
Yeah.
You look ahead now and Spurs have got Brighton and they have won 4 out of their last 5. And I know Brighton are a weird team and I never know week to week what they're going to do. But this Spurs running now, they are a team that just looks so devoid of any belief. And the fact that they're playing Brighton, regardless of what happens there, the following weekend, they're going to Wolves. And that strikes me as the sort of game that Wolves will win. Because Spurs don't score in the first 20 minutes, they'll absolutely shit themselves.
Before I get predictions for the Wolves game, I will say it then. Spurs-Brighton, Saturday, half.
Oh no, we've lost Jack. It's all on me then. That's concerning. But yeah, Wolves, our Spurs and Brighton is, again, could be huge. If Brighton win that, and again, even if we...
Apologies for that. I know that it was me because I opened up the stream very briefly and only you were there.
I was mumbling my way through it. But
yeah,
if worst came to the worst and well, it's not worst comes to worst, but if we ended up only getting a point against Wolves and Brighton won, we're still in an excellent position.
It is the thing where, well, that's the good thing about being clear. Every weekend, and we've said this before these last couple of games, if everyone gets the same, that's fine. And anything better than that is even better. So, Spurs Brighton Saturday half 5. What do you reckon?
I think Brighton win that. I think Brighton win it like 2-0.
I think if we win, Spurs don't. If we mess up, I think Spurs win. But I'm going to say, I'm going to say Brighton get that done just because Spurs just look so bereft. And
yeah,
I mean it shouldn't be the case. But I mean, have they won a home game yet this season in the league?
It's one or two, and it's early. They have a dreadful record at home. They've not won a Premier League game this calendar year.
Yeah, like it's unbelievable how poor they've been.
Like it's 15 without a win in the league now.
It's something daft like that. Yeah, I think I saw the table for just this year and like just of the teams at the bottom. And I think West Ham were the best and then us. But like Spurs had 5 points all year.
Yeah.
It's real bad. Sunday, 2 o'clock, Forest at home to Burnley.
I think Forest win that one.
Yeah, I can't. I think Forest will win that.
Forest are. Look, I'm not going to go so far as to say they're playing really well or anything like that, but they are, I think, playing to the standard that team should be.
Yeah, it's been. It's not been a, like apples to apples, but when Fonseca came in at Wolves when they were in trouble, it just got them solid and got them playing something like.
Yeah.
And they got results, and he's done the same there.
Yeah.
And then Monday night, Palace v West Ham.
Palace are at home, aren't they, as well?
Palace are at home, and are sort of realising where they are in the league and just worrying about Europe.
I've got that one down as a draw.
I mean, I'd be good with that. Like, I mean, if they could all not win, that'd be great. But I think Forest will. I'm pretty confident Forest will win.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard back from Connie yet, although he has finally got his phone fixed, so it shouldn't be too long. Alex 2-2, Benny has us winning 2-0. Little Danny has us winning 3-1. Who I'm very jealous of because he was able to go to the scum game. What do you reckon, Casey?
I'm going to revert to type and say 2-1 win for Leeds.
2-1 win. And I am also going to revert to type by saying 1-1 draw.
Fair.
Because we absolutely should win this game. Don't anyone get it twisted. We should win this game. We're better than them. We're in as good a form as them, looks-wise, but I think we're playing better than them, definitely. There is no reason other than it's Leeds United that we shouldn't win this game. But it is Leeds United, unfortunately. So we'll have to see.
If we start
well, we'll be. It's like them games at the end of last season. If you get an early goal, we'll be fine.
I'm having slight dreams of ending this weekend with 5 league games left to play and us being 9 points clear.
Yeah. 9 points clear with like Burnley at home to play.
Hmm.
Like it would be almost impossible to fuck that up. Almost.
Stranger things though.
Yeah, but we've seen it before. But no, we have to be fairly confident going in.
Hmm.
Because as you said, the ridiculous thing is because of that win, depending on results elsewhere, we're in such a strong position now. And if you're still panicking, shop around. You might even be able to get 16 to 1 on Leeds going down.
Yeah.
Stick 20 quid on it and stop worrying about it. But yeah, that will do us for episode 359 of Mighty White's podcast. The Bournemouth game is Wednesday the 22nd now, isn't it?
Yes.
So we will probably be back Monday, probably.
Yeah.
I'll have to check what I'm working, but I think I'm done at 5. So we should have time.
Cool.
Cool. Nice one. That will do us. I've been Jack. See ya.
I'm Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.